Hello, welcome to Outdoors in Scotland. I'm John Burns, and this is my podcast for folk who like to be outdoors, well, just about anywhere, really. I'm happy to say that my latest book is almost ready. It's almost ready to sort of roll off the presses or whatever they do in the internet these days. It's The Hot Tent Diaries, and it's my book about exploring the Highlands using a tent with a wood burning stove, and that's the sort of adventures that I like. So and it's the sort of adventures I hope everybody else would aspire to. So my guest today actually has taken to the road, I think you'd have to say, in adventures of her own, using a camper van and done what I think we all dream about, really, don't we? We all want to just chuck our cares and our worries away and set off into the wild blue yonder. But I don't know quite what the reality of that is like. So in her new book, Retirement Rebel, Siobhan Daniels writes about her experiences, and she's here today to tell us about that book. How are you doing, Siobhan?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. I'm loving life on the road. It's great.
Good. Now, tell me where you are at the moment. You did, you're doing something on a farm, I believe.
I am, yeah. One of the things that I started doing about 18 months ago was volunteering and working at places. And I discovered this place in Dorset. It's a farm. And I go out in the morning and I collect horse poo with a big smile on my face because I can enjoy the countryside. No, my friends think I'm crazy, but I love the physical exercise. I love getting out there. I love the outdoors. I didn't realise how much I did do until I started doing this. So I do a couple of hours horse poo picking and weeding, and then I can just park up, plug into the electric, and enjoy the beauty of Dorset.
Sounds pretty good. I'm a bit asked this with trepidation, really. What do they do with the horse poo?
They pile it up. There's two big piles of in the corner of fields, and then they scatter it around different parts of the farm. So they use it as kind of manure. But really, just pile it up. I've got a lovely pink wheelbarrow. And I just add to that pile every morning, and I'm blown away by how much poo horses do, I tell you.
Yeah, they're very good at it, I believe. So it sounds like paradise, really, doesn't it? tell us. Okay, so you. Well, how did you come to take to the road in the way that you've done?
Well, basically, in my mid-50s, I just became overwhelmed with life. I'd been a single mum for years. I'd worked all that time, you know, making sure I paid my mortgage, paid my bills, got my daughter into good schools, all the pressure of that. I ended up having to have a hysterectomy in my mid-40s because I had precancerous cells. One of my brothers died at 53 from lung cancer. Then my elder sister died at 53 from lung cancer. I was feeling marginalized and I felt as though ageism was at play in work, and mm-hmm. I just felt voiceless and just overwhelmed by everything. And I remember one particular day crying at work and thinking, I can't do this. Well, no, I won't do this anymore. I need to find a way of living authentically and stop pretending. I was just broken, really broken. And so I sort of thought of different things I could do, get rid of my house, my possessions, what am I going to do? And one morning, literally, I woke up and I just thought, motorhome. I'd never holidayed in a motorhome, never even driven a motorhome, but mm-hmm. it just seemed the solution to what I was looking for. And basically, I retired at 60, got rid of my flat, all my possessions, took them to charity shops, the whole lot. My daughter thought I'd gone a bit bonkers. And I set off in September 2019. So it's nearly 3 years ago. And when I turned the key in the ignition, I'd got no idea genuinely where I was going, what I was going to do, but I just thought, I'm going to have no plan, I'm going to go with the flow, and somehow I just thought my life's going to work out, and it has done. I've gone from broken to mended. I'm the happiest I've ever been.
That's brilliant. But I can understand, you know, you wanted to set off, was it quite difficult for your family in some ways?
I think it was, but I've always done crazy things. When I was 49, I took a gap year from work when my daughter went to university, and I packed a rucksack and I went around the world on my own, and everybody thought I was crazy then. Even me, actually. I sat on the plane crying, thinking, oh my God, What have you done now? But it worked out, and it was there that I got the first seed of travel and enjoying it and feeling ageless, because I'm mixed with people of all ages, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So I always knew I'd do some more traveling when I could. And I got overwhelmed as well, as ageism, I felt, was impacting my life. I want to go out there and travel and scream and shout and challenge ageism and challenge stereotypes of what people think 60 odd year old people do when they retire.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, things have changed dramatically, I guess, over the last, I don't know, 20 or 30 years. I mean, when I think back to my grandparents and to their retirement, what you did in retirement was you sat and you watched the telly. That was about it, really, wasn't it?
And my mum and dad ran an old people's home. I grew up in an old people's home, and they took women from 60 and men from 65. So I'd have been in there for 3 years, and here I am climbing hills and mountains and all sorts of things.
That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. So you got in your van, and presumably with lots of tins of stuff and everything rattling along with you. And where did you go on your first little adventures?
I headed off to Yorkshire, to the Peak District first, and then to Yorkshire. My adventure really started in Yorkshire. And I co-opted a couple of my friends who I'd known since I was 18 to come with me, because I was petrified of driving the thing. And I didn't really know how to fill water tanks. I was really, really naive. And a lot of women, I give talks to a lot of groups now about what I've done and what I'm doing.
Right.
And a lot of them say to me, oh, we couldn't do that. We'd be terrified. And I say to them, honestly, I was terrified. I didn't know what I was doing. That's been part of the adventure, realizing that I can work it out and I can survive and I can find a good way. So basically, my friends supported me in the Yorkshire Dales and the Lake District whilst we squealed as I went through narrow roads. And but I got there in the end, and I know that I can drive it. And if I'm overwhelmed, I just pull over, I stop, I let the traffic go by. Mm-hmm. I just enjoy myself. But I love life on the road. I really do.
Well, before we talk about that a bit more, I did wonder whether you felt that there are particular barriers for a woman doing what you're doing, whether those barriers are real or imaginary. What do you think?
I swear I've not come up against those barriers at all. I don't know. I do read on some social media sites that some women find there are barriers. I certainly don't. I think a lot of people self-limit themselves and think they can't do it. And I think a lot of women sadly do that. And they sort of let their husbands drive the motorhome and they never drive it. But then eventually, you know, they'll, for whatever reason, it maybe if the husband's died or they divorce, they end up driving it and they post and go, oh, my goodness, I can do it. I'm enjoying doing it.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of saying to them, watch what I'm doing. Follow me. I want to be authentic and real and show you. I've had those problems. I mean, for months, I didn't fill my water tank properly because I couldn't figure out just simple things like connecting the hose pipe, which seems ridiculous now. So I used to use little watering cans and walk backwards and forwards. And you could see people laughing at me thinking, what on earth is she up to? But I used to think to myself, oh, it's good exercise. It's good. And then once I figured it out, some kind fella actually came when I was at the Chatsworth site, came out and showed me what to do. And then I was fine. I never looked back after that. So that's, you know, people help you, I think, especially a woman on your own. I have had lots of help and support from couples along the way. And it's great.
You don't have to say, you don't sound like a damsel in distress to me.
Oh, I've had my moments. I've had my moments of absolute sobbing. I work it out.
Yeah, you don't find many knights in shining armor from my experience. But anyway, at least not in this.
I got stuck in a field in lockdown that when I got going, and then I was in lockdown in Lancaster for the first 5 months. And then I was in lockdown in the winter time, and my pipes froze at one stage, and I had to go out, collect snow and boil the snow, melt it, boil it, and use that strip wash. Making, but I figured it out. At first I sat down and cried and thought, oh, what do I do? I don't know. And then I thought, okay, do it. And then I felt like Bear Grylls when I'd finally worked out to melt the snow.
Yeah, bringing down wild animals, no doubt now. By this stage, that's one of the things I was going to ask you, actually. Is there a little travelling community of folk? You must bump into the same people in different places. Is that one of the pleasures of it, or one of the downsides, maybe?
Do you know what? I don't bump into the same people, but I think I go a lot off the beaten track. I find I don't do much wild camping. I do a lot of wild camping in Scotland and in Ireland, but in England, I don't tend to. I don't see the draw of staying in a lay-by somewhere or a car park somewhere. But I find lots of quirky sites on farms, and people who've got small holdings. They're affiliated to the big caravan and motorhome clubs, but they're called certified locations or certified sites, and they can only have a maximum of five vehicles on them. A lot of people don't like those because they don't have shower blocks and things like that. They're very basic, but that's what I like. I like it very basic, and I like lighting my little fire and things like that. So no, I don't really, I steer away from being part of a community. I'm trying to forge my own path. And I did struggle very much at the beginning, like I say, physically with the motorhome, but then I struggled with my mental state of mind. You know, I was still hadn't dealt with an awful lot of things in my life, with the deaths and bereavement and bullying and precancerous cells, all sorts of things. So I headed up to Scotland and went to a very remote place in Lochmorlick, on the edge of Lochmorlick,
Oh
and
yeah. Yeah, yeah,
basically
yeah.
screamed and shouted and carried on and had all the conversations with people I should have had and situations, let all that go there at the edge of the lock, and then thought, this is my way forward now. I'm going to forge a path, I'm going to have my adventures, and I'm going to try and support and inspire other women to lose that misery and that hopelessness that you feel in your mid-50s and 60s and enjoy life. So that's what I'm doing. So I'm sort of forging my own path rather than sort of hanging around with lots of groups.
Right. Have you got better being on your own?
Yeah, I love being on my own. I love being with people. I'm very sociable as well, but I love withdrawing and being on my own for a couple of days. I mean, I've been on this farm now for a month. I've had a great time. I've just done lunch for the ladies that keep their horses here and the lady that owns it and her daughters. We've had a great lunch to say goodbye, and then I'm heading off tomorrow. And I'm looking forward to a couple of days completely on my own.
And where are you off to now? Where are your travels taking you again?
I'm going off to Sussex for a couple of days, and I'm going to see my daughter who's just over the border in Tunbridge Wells. So I'll see her. Then I'm going off to do some WI talks. I do lots of talks around the country for Women's Institute groups. So I'm doing one in Surrey, and then I'm doing one up in Derbyshire. So I'll be sort of venturing around the country. And then I literally look at the map wherever I am and think, oh, where am I? Where haven't I been? Where do I want to go? And then I Google and try and find the quirky little sites and just book in for a couple of days.
That's and is there any aspect of bricks and mortar that you miss, or are you completely at home in your wee van?
The only thing that I do miss is a bath, or as they say,
Right,
a bath.
a bath. Oh yeah, okay, fair enough. You can
No,
say bath from where I am. Hi.
No, I loved before when I had my home. I loved soaking in the bath. That was my happy place when I was just relaxing. I'd sort of put music on or watch a film or read a book and stay in the bath for hours. So I do miss that. But one thing that I do is house sit for people. I do that, I'd say, about 2 months of the year, 2 weeks here. So I make sure I can soak in their bath when I go, and I enjoy it. But that's the only thing, genuinely, the only thing that I really, really miss.
And you so you've totally, it sounds like you've like completely embraced a sort of nomadic lifestyle. Is that right?
I love that sense of freedom. I love opening the door and not knowing what the view's going to be like. When I went up to the Outer Hebrides at the beginning of the year, I was there for a couple of months, and I got the ferry over from Oban and got to Barra. And it was nighttime, and I parked up, and I had no idea what it was going to be like in the morning, the views or anything. I could hear the roar of the ocean, the Atlantic, but I couldn't see. And I opened my door the next morning, and thankfully I videoed it because it was breathtaking, the views. I was so near the edge of the Atlantic and the waves crashing on the rocks, and it just made me cry with joy. I just thought, this is heaven.
It's a very different area up there, isn't it? I mean, Scotland is so much wilder, I suppose, than most places that you
It
go
is,
to.
and I made a point of going in off season as well. I was there sort of end of February, March, and there were winds of 66 miles an hour and stuff like that. And I was rocketed about in my motorhome. And it did, there was that excitement of what was happening, but also a little bit of fear thinking, oh my goodness, could this possibly blow over?
Well, you're very much out of your comfort zone up there, aren't you? I mean, I
Yeah.
tend to I like to go off into remote glens where there's probably nobody else there,
Yeah.
and put my little tent up, and I enjoy that isolation, you know. But there is also the time when you hear the wind coming, you think, is this tent going to be here for the next 10 minutes, you know?
I admire you. I'm very inspired by you doing it in a tent, really. You're doing it the proper way, some would say. I'm cheating a bit. I've got my gin bar, I've got my shower, I've got my heating.
Well, to be honest, actually, I've got a little wood burning stove, and in many ways, it's just as comfortable, I would say, as you know, as a van. You know, I've never been cold in it. It's but you sort of like you will have had to done. You sort of have to learn how to use the, you know, the sort of the things that you've got to keep yourself comfortable, and that's
Yeah.
actually part of the journey, isn't it, really?
And also, I know when I very first started, I was a bit of a softie. I did feel cold. I can remember feeling freezing the first couple of weeks, in the winter time. But then I adjusted to it. I adjusted my clothing and the way that I lived. And I had doors and windows open a lot more than I had done before to let the fresh air come through and get used to the temperature and the temperament. And now I really don't feel the cold at all.
No, you definitely get used to it, and it can be a bit cold getting up in the morning sometimes, I find.
Yeah, but I go in the Atlantic Ocean in sort of February, March time, just because of
Oh,
the
that's braver than me, that
but so I think that's helped as well. And I do tend to have cold showers, not because I'm saving my electric or my gas or whatever, but
is.
I've just got used to now having cold showers, and it makes me feel more alive.
Well, I'll take your word for that
That silence spoke volumes.
one. So how did you get, or how did you come to, well, how did you write your book? Did you write your book sitting in your van? Was this something that you did?
Yeah, well, I'd been writing articles for magazines and newspapers, and I'd been tentatively writing a book along the way. I was going to call it Ageless Fearless Woman, You Can Do It Too. But the more rebellious I got, the more I thought, no, do you know what? I'm a retirement rebel. I'm doing this for the cause. But I started writing it, and then I was in the Guardian newspaper. They contacted me. They saw my Instagram, which is Siobhan Shavoff. And they contacted me and said, look, we do a column for over 60s starting again. We'd love to do one on you. And over 900,000 people read that article
Wow, really? That's
worldwide
amazing.
in the first week. So a literary agent contacted me and she signed me up. I'd already contacted the publishers, various publishers, and got some rejections with my idea for the book. And then this particular publisher, they said, yep, Vertebrate Publishing, we'd love to go with you. We like your story. Can you write this book for us? So I wrote and kept submitting it to them. My last chapter, funnily enough, I was in the Outer Hebrides, on the Isle of Harris, and I had to climb right to the top of a hill to get a signal to
Ha
send
yeah,
my
I've done that,
chapter. And it was fantastic. It was really exciting sending my last chapter.
yeah.
And then we've been working on it together and editing it, and it's funnily enough, it goes to the printers tomorrow. Yay!
I know there's that. I don't know about you, but when you're writing a book, I always find that when you've got the cover, suddenly
Oh.
it's a book. Before that, it's something in your head. It's a
I
strange thing.
cried. I cried when they sent me the proof for me to read through with the actual words and the cover and the words on the back and the endorsements from people. I just thought, oh God, this is really happening.
I have cried reading a few things of mine, I must admit, in the past. But possibly for different reasons.
Oh no, I've been there. I've been there.
So your book is what covers the first 18 months of your journey, or what is it? How does it work?
No, actually, it covers lots of different aspects of my life.
Okay.
The reason that I was in such a pickle when I was in my mid-50s was a lot of things to do with earlier in my life and the impact of growing up my father, and my feelings of fear and insecurity and wanting to please people who probably weren't particularly nice people. So it's all intertwined. And even, you know, why I felt the need to go up to Loch Morlick in it's so
yeah, yeah.
It's my life story with my voyage, so that a lot of women will relate to bereavements and being marginalized in the mid-50s and wondering what now when the children go to university and count yourself. So it's my relatable story as a woman mixed with my journey in the motorhome to find my adventure. I feel I've become the woman that I always should have been, but life got in the way and I couldn't. And a lot of women find that they put themselves on the back burner to just bring up their children and cope with their jobs. And I'm saying, don't forget yourselves. But I'm also saying to young women, don't fear getting old. Old can be good. We're so negative about aging. All the cosmetics start with anti-aging. And we're all aging, whether we like it or not. We're all heading in the same direction, some longer than others, some faster than others, you know, but we're all going there. So why be obsessed with this anti? I'm saying let's be pro-aging. Let's get things that enhance. Let's live the best that we can and as positively as we can. So I think the younger women, I want to inspire them to start speaking up now and say, look, we're not going to accept ageism, especially in our mid-50s when we've got to work till we're nearly 70 to get a pension. You know, we need to change the narratives. We need to change the images of what they're showing women look like in their 60s. And embrace getting old and being old. And that's what my book is. It's an inspirational book for all ages.
It sounds fantastic. Yeah, and it's out 20th of October, is that correct?
It is, yes, but you can pre-order it now.
You can pre-order it. This has been a little bit of a taster of it, I guess, hasn't it?
Yeah, I hope so. And I just hope it ignites in women that excitement that I'm feeling now. Because I know I couldn't get off the sofa in my mid-50s. I was so depressed, so miserable. I felt suicidal. I just felt like, what is the point? And now I just love life so much. And I just want to help so many other women feel that way who are lost.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to speak up for men here as well. I think, to be honest, also it's a kind of male thing as well, because men often get stuck in the rut of their career, and you hear about so many men who reach retirement, and retirement is not the liberation that for them that you think it should be. A lot of men find it very, very difficult to cope. Suddenly they haven't got the role that they had before. And I guess, well, you know, your book and that the philosophy behind your book is to go out and find another role in life and explore life. And I think you're quite right about the thing about age. I mean, I think that the great trick to age is not trying to do the things that you did when you were young, but to find new things that suit the new person you become, really.
Yeah. And I totally agree with you about the men. And I hope there's somebody out there doing for men what I'm trying to do for women, be a trailblazer and speak up and say no more. We're not going to accept the cards that society seems to be dealing us at the moment. We want to shuffle those cards. And when we retire, we're not retiring to sit on a sofa. We're refiring. We're not retiring. We're refiring our life and we're heading out there with some gusto.
Sounds pretty good. I mean, one of the few advantages men have is obviously it's quite acceptable for men to become grumpy old gits, which is, I think, is basically the way we cope with it, really.
I know, but lovable grumpy old gits.
With that, thanks very much. It was really great fun talking to you, and I'm really looking forward to your book. And I'll put a wee link on the web page for your. For this podcast, and I hope you lead a revolution of women taking to the road in caravans and bikes and whatever takes their fancy to explore the country, lovely countryside we've got.
Thank you. It's been great talking to you.
Okay, thanks a lot then. Bye bye, Siobhan.
Bye.